A reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, 1 through 11. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statute. Then I shall not be put to shame. Having my eyes fixed on all your commandments, I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. A reading from the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 22, verses 23 through 27. The word of the Lord came to me. Mortal, say to it, you are a land that is not cleansed, not rained upon in the day of indignation. Its princes within it are like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured human lives. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows within it. Its priests have done violence to my teaching and have profaned my holy things. They have made no distinction between the holy and the common. Neither have they taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. They have disregarded my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Its officials within it are like wolves tearing the prey, shedding blood, destroying lives to get dishonest gain. A reading from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. May the living word of God speak to us through these ancient words of Scripture.
The grace and peace of our brother and teacher and Lord Jesus be with us, not just today, but all of our days. What do we treasure? What do we treasure? I treasure your word in my heart, the writer of the 119th Psalm says. I treasure your word in my heart. Your word, God's word, which for the writer of the psalm means God's teachings. God's laws, God's precepts, God's ways, God's hopes, God's dreams, God's expectations, God's commands and demands for how we are to live individually and together. I treasure your word in my heart. Heart, which in the language of the Hebrew Scriptures represents the essence, the core of our very being, who we really are in our center. I treasure your word in the core of my very being. I treasure it. I hide it. Because you see, that word we see as treasure in the Hebrew that the psalm is originally written in translates more accurately as hide. To hide or to be hidden. Hidden as in preserved, protected, kept safe, stored as Jesus puts it in the passage that Mary read, stored where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves cannot break in and steal. I hide, I protect, I preserve, I keep safe your word in my heart, in the core of my very being. I treasure your word in my heart, the writer of the psalm says, so that I may not sin against you, so that I may not hide your word in a different way. Hide as in ignore, obscure, conceal, even deny. I protect it, I preserve it, I keep it safe so that I may not ignore it, obscure it, conceal it, deny it. Ignore and obscure and conceal and deny, like the mother who catches her son sneaking a cookie. And when he sees her, he quickly hides the cookie behind his back. And when the mother asks, where's the cookie? He says, what cookie? I don't have a cookie. I don't know what you're talking about. Ignore, obscure, conceal, and hide. Like God charges the ancient Israelites and especially their leaders of doing through the prophet Ezekiel. You are a land that is not cleansed. God tells the ancient Israelites and especially their leaders through the prophet Ezekiel. It is a time for the ancient Israelites and their leaders of enormous turmoil. Violence can be easily found everywhere, while peace is almost completely hidden. It is almost completely hidden. And so God tells Ezekiel, go to the nation and say to them, your princes, those in the land who are the most economically advantaged and the most powerful, your princes are like a roaring lion tearing at its prey, devouring lives. God says to Ezekiel, go to the nation and say to them, your priests, your clergy, your spiritual leaders do violence to my teachings and profane my holy ways. God says to Ezekiel, go to the nation and say to them, your officials, your secular leaders are like wolves shedding blood, claiming lives for dishonest gain. What do you treasure? God asks the ancient Israelites, and especially their leaders in that time. The same way that God asks every people, every nation, in every time, what do you treasure? The same way that God asks us now, what do you treasure? Not what do you say you treasure, but what do you really treasure? What is it that you hide? What is it that you protect, preserve, keep safe in the very core of your being? What is that? And what is it that you hide? That you hide about my ways as in ignore? Or obscure, or conceal, or deny. What do you treasure? It is a question that we are not allowed to hide from, because God will uncompromisingly, unrelentlessly pursue us and force us to face and answer that question honestly. And while I know it has always been the case that there are things that we as a nation treasure more than God's word, right now it seems as if there are a number of things that we are willing to treasure, protect, preserve, keep safe in our hearts more than God's word. Because when we see the seemingly never-ending circus of our political environment, when we see our leaders' constant inability, or perhaps more truthfully, unwillingness to implement laws and policies that reflect the overwhelming agreement of the people, it sure seems as what they treasure in their hearts is more winning an ideology than God's word. When we see a young man named Brock Turner receive only 6 months of a possible 12-year prison sentence for assaulting a clearly incapacitated young woman in the back of a dumpster at a party at Stanford University because, well, you know, they were both drunk and, you know, he's a really talented swimmer with a really bright future, it sure seems as if what we treasure more in our hearts is still men over women. That what we still treasure in our hearts is inequality by gender more than God's call for equality. And most especially in this time, when we see mass killing after mass killing after mass killing in places where we are meant to be able to hide as in be protected, be preserved, and be safe, schools, movie theaters, churches, and nightclubs, when we see that, and at the same time, see a presidential nominee constantly attempt to oppress those who protest, who exercise their right to free speech, and revoke the credentials of those in the press who dare to write negative things about him, and at the same time have a current administration which has prosecuted more journalists for refusing to reveal their sources than any other in modern times, when we put all that together, it sure seems as if in our hearts as a nation, we treasure guns more than we treasure a lot of other things. It sure seems as if we treasure our guns more than we treasure our freedom of speech. It sure seems as if we treasure our guns more than we treasure our children. It sure seems as if we treasure our guns more than we treasure our gay and lesbian and transgender brothers and sisters. I can't help thinking that God looks at us right now and would love to be able to send Ezekiel our way. That God would love to be able to send Ezekiel and say, tell the nation that their princes are like roaring lions tearing at their prey and devouring lives by flooding your nation and the entire world with more and deadlier weapons by the day. Tell the nation that your priests, your clergy, your spiritual leaders are doing violence to my teachings and profaning my holy ways by standing in their pulpits in front of their congregation and claiming that Jesus would have owned an arsenal and so should you. I can't help thinking that God would send Ezekiel and say to the nation that many of your officials are like wolves shedding blood, taking lives for dishonest gain, for the sake of campaign contributions from the NRA or in order to avoid their wrath. What do we treasure? God asks. That is all extremely troubling. But what troubles me most of all about all of that is what it suggests from a larger, more fundamental standpoint. What it suggests about us as a nation in terms of what is at our very core, what is truly in our hearts, what do we really treasure? And what it suggests is that perhaps in our hearts, we treasure violence more than peace. We don't, we say. But see the graph on the back of your bulletin, page 7? This is a graph that identifies a number of what are considered to be the most advanced countries in the world. And it is a graph of the number of murders by gun in those countries per 1 million people. See that big old line at the bottom that's way longer than anybody else's? That's us, folks. 29.7 murders by gun per 1 million people in the United States. 4 times more than the next longest line. That's Switzerland. And almost 30 times more than the country whose little tiny line is at the top of the graph, and that's Australia. And for those who continue to insist that more guns make us more safe, Australia has implemented some of those strictest gun regulations in the world in recent years. They now have only 15 guns per 100 people. Us, 89. And then there is the 2016 Global Peace Index, which is a measure of a country's degree of violence and inequality. Out of 163 nations ranked, we are currently number 103. 103. Our guns are a problem. They are an enormous problem. But see, here's the more important thing today. They are not the problem. In the end, they are not the problem. They make the problem worse, a lot worse than it needs to be. But in the end, they are not the problem. The problem is a lot bigger and goes a lot deeper. The problem goes all the way to our heart, our essence, the very core of who we are as a nation. And yes, we have gotten a lot better in a lot of ways over the years. But the fact of the matter is that we have always been and continue to be a society that has a heart for violence. And that will never change until we are willing to uncompromisingly, unrelentingly face what is in our heart honestly, so that we can stop hiding it as in ignoring and obscuring and concealing and denying it. That is the only road to true change. The change that really matters. The change of heart that's necessary. Otherwise, gun restriction, gun regulation, as important and necessary as that may be, will be the best that we can hope for. The best that we can hope for. And that's not good enough. It's not good enough for God, and it certainly shouldn't be good enough for us. So, what will we choose to treasure? What will we choose to preserve and protect and keep safe so that neither moth nor rust can consume it, or thieves break in and steal it? What will we choose to treasure? Amen.